dispensed with and the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is Reverend Richard Buller from Valley Community Presbyterian Church in Golden Valley. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask you this day to inspire these faithful servants who are gathered in this room. Guide them, O God, with your great compassion, and lead them with your wisdom, and strengthen them with your presence. O God, use these voices and minds to bring hope to our people and light to this state. Work here in this gathering to restore your creation and all who depend upon your breath. Lead these senators, O God, into policy that serves you and your intentions for abundant life, and teach them to expand on your law of love that in turn becomes promise of hope. Today, O God, I ask you to create new thoughts and hopeful plans that bring about radical life and needed dreams. Fill the cup of all who hunger and thirst for your fullness. Use the minds and the hearts of those gathered today to be your hands, to be your heart, and to be your will for the people of Minnesota. This is our prayer, O God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the United States of
America. Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Berglund, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeKreif, Dibble, Fischbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Hann, Harrington, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebertson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Cruz, Kubley, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Pogamiller, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Spark, Stump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Uyghur, Wolf.
A quorum is present. Moving to the third order of business, messages from the House, the Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 86, a bill for an act relating to energy. Senate file number 86 is herewith returned to the Senate. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Koch, we need a motion to lay that bill on the table.
So moved, Madam President.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on to the fifth order of business, reports of committee. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I move that the reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on to the sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. Those bills are printed on page 5 of today's Senate agenda, second reading. Moving to the seventh order of business, the second reading of House bills. They are also printed on page 5 of today's Senate agenda, second reading. Moving on to the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's Senate bill introductions, and they will be referred as indicated, first reading. Moving on to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. There are several resolutions printed on page 5 of today's Senate agenda. They will be referred to rules. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Koch.
Madam President, I move that House File 537 be taken from the table and given a second reading.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion does prevail. House File 537, second reading. Senator Koch.
I move that House File 537 be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those
aye.
Opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I move that House File 873 be taken from the table and given a second reading.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. House File Number 873, second reading. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I move that House File 873 be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I move that House File 874 be taken from the table and given a second reading.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. House File Number 874, second reading. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I move that House File 874 be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail.
Madam President.
Senator
Madam
Koch.
President, I move that House File 922 be taken from the table and given a second reading.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. House File 922, second reading.
Madam President.
Senator Koch.
I move that House File 922 be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail.
I was confused.
Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Koch.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. House File 235, number 93 on the general orders. Senate File 1363, number 130 on the general orders. House File 57, number 29 on the general orders. And Senate File 1197, number 83 on the general orders.
Senator Koch has designated those bills as special orders. We will begin with House File 235. I believe it is number 95 on general orders? 93, excuse me, number 93 on general orders, House File 235. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Okay. Thank you, members. House File 235 is pertaining to Hannah's Law. After a little girl inspired this legislation, Hannah died after choking on a grape while at a daycare center. Current law says that one person has to be on staff that knows CPR. This legislation would require all teachers and assistant teachers to know CPR and have taken that training. I want to thank the other authors, Senate authors on this, Representative Mary Liz Holberg, and of course the Kazitsa family who are present today. This is a great tragedy, and I think this could be prevented if we had all teachers at daycare centers take CPR. I would appreciate your support on House File 235. I stand for questions.
Further discussion on House File 235, Senator Berglund.
Madam President, I rise to support this bill and thank you for the work that you've done on it and urge all members to vote yes on this bill.
Further discussion on House File 235. Seeing none, Secretary will give House File 235 its third reading.
House File 235, a bill for an act relating to human services, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 235. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 66 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions under special orders, we will take up Senate File 1363, number 130 on general orders, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Senate File 1363 is something that I think everybody's pretty familiar with. It's the legacy and dedicated funding from the constitutional amendment sales tax that was passed in 2008. And I hope you have in front of you a spreadsheet that describes the work that the committee has done, the Environmental Natural Resource Committee has done over the last a couple of months. And it's going to be coming, it has come to the floor in four different articles. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out by certainly thanking all the members that have done a lot of hard work, the Lesage-Sams Heritage Council, the Clean Water Council, along with members of the Senate that and staff, and we can't ever forget the staff. Without them, we wouldn't have anything in front of us right now, and we all know that. All the work that they've done to bring this forward. And members, not going into the, as we call it around here, the weeds too far here, I'm going to just direct your attention to the cover sheet, or excuse me, to the sheet that's been handed out with the expenditures, and I'll start out with Article 1, and that's the Outdoor Heritage Fund, or what's called the Lesage-Sams Outdoor Heritage. Now, understand this is a one-year. This is a one-year bill. This is what we've done. When I keep referring to we, I'm on that particular committee, as most of you know, and this year. The appropriation is approximately $86,942,000. And real quickly, I will start with Article 1 and with the prairies. If you'll notice the prairies and just move halfway down to line number 20, there was an expenditure of $32,671,000. It has all the different projects that are listed on there. Number two would be the forest portion of the amendment, and the totals on forests are also listed there, and that's $14,371,000. You move on to the second page, you will move into the wetland section. That's RIM WRP stuff, shallow lake, critical shoreland things. You will see the current biennium expenditures actually went down this year from $25 million to $15.827 million. Moving on to the habitat portion, and again, they're all listed on the left side. We actually went from $146 million to... Oh, excuse me, that's thought for total, I'm sorry. From 1.655 to 1.159, with the total this year, as I started out by telling you, is a total of the Outdoor Heritage Fund of $86,942,000. Next, we move into the Clean Water Fund, Clean Water portion, that's the other. That would be the second third of the constitutional amendment expenditure. And we'll be working into the Department of Agriculture. You'll see that that actually doubled there from $8,960,000 to $16,400,000. Public Facilities Authority, you'll see the numbers there are relatively the same, about $1 million more, $33,420. Moving into the next page,
You will come to the PCA, the Pollution Control Agency, obviously dealing with clean water. They're certainly a large entity that funding goes through their agency. And you will see there that's approximately the same amount of dollars expended. And that's a total this year of $46,700,000. Excuse me, the biennium. This is a biennium portion of the budget. The board and soil water section is in the next page, page 5. You will see an increase there from $39 million to almost $54 million. That's a biennium. And the Department of Health included there a fairly significant increase percentage-wise there from $3.7 million to $6 million. And moving on to the next page, which is page 6, Madam President and members, the Metropolitan Council, you will see actually a reduction there from an increase from $800,000 to $1 million. And the Department of Administration, there's some dollars there that were set aside for the Cowell Center for the dance to extract a well that was in that particular project that was unforeseen. Actually, they came with twice that amount, but we were able to fund half of it. And clean water appropriations total, as you can see again on page 6, go from $152 million to $179 million for the biennium. Members, then we move into the next part that's probably taken up an awful lot of your members' time lately, and that's the our Parks and Trails Fund. Parks and Trails, of course, is a separate portion of the last third of the constitutional amendment, and those dollars are split separately in 19% worth of total funding there. And this is a Senator Peterson's bill. Senator Peterson carried this bill, and it actually passed through two committees. And the percentages, I think, are a point of interest on the right hand side. You will see that the state parks and recreation areas will be getting 37% of the funding. And then the regional parks would be getting 26. That would be mostly rural, 26%, and that's exclusive. Those are the exclusive funding, as well as the Metropolitan Council, Metropolitan Parks, getting another share of 37%. Now, I might say that if you look to the column to the left, actually on the current biennium, you will see the split that was in effect the first biennium, last biennium, 43, 43, and 14%. So there's some significant differences there, but both the committees that I brought this through thought it was fair to bring that 14% up to where it is now, and through some negotiations we've been able to, and the hard work by Senator Peterson, been able to bring it this far. So the total, if you will, I guess there's another portion here. University of Minnesota actually didn't receive any funding. They received $400 for last biennium. Moving on into the arts and culture, maybe I better back up and give you the total here. I guess to go on record with the total of the parks would be $78,142,000. The next portion is the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. The State Board of Arts, which is an organization that's been around a lot longer than the constitutional amendment, actually, and the board has been getting general fund dollars for years before the constitutional amendment came into effect, and they have a very good system of sending money out to statewide arts programs from the Canadian border all the way south and east and west. They do a tremendous job, and you'll notice that they receive the largest portion here of the funding, and for this year we have $51,160,000 for this biennium. So that was a fairly significant increase there from 43.3 to 51.1. The Historical Society portion of the dedicated funding actually increased by $2.5 million. You'll notice that from 22 to 24. And again, the programs are listed on the left-hand side. Department of Administration, total agency from $14 million to $16,8.96. That includes some museums, includes the Como Zoo, Lake Superior Zoo, some real fun activities, if you will. I think the committee had a good time getting the presentations brought to them about all the different kid museums, if you will, in the state of Minnesota that are going on. And so we funded them in that order. The Minnesota Zoo is a standalone portion. They got rather significant increase, and we thought, being they were a statewide, they have a statewide significance, we thought the increase would be important there, because a lot of people, and I'm sure you've visited the zoo. I don't have to sell you on what the Minnesota Zoo is about, but it is a very good organization, and I know the background and the history has been brought forward to the committee. And at one time, I know that they were coming back to the legislature for a lot more funding, and that has finally gotten off the ground now, and they're expanding into what we think is a tremendous opportunity for our members as well as visitors to go to the zoo. So we actually raised that an awful lot, as you will see, from $300,000 to $3 million. Humanity Center, you actually went up a slight bit there, as you can see, from 2.1 to 2.15. The Perpich Center for Arts actually went up. They had a great presentation. They're actually bringing a lot of rural members out of pay attention to this as well. It isn't just happening in the metro area and suburb area. They're actually bringing that show to the show on the road, as well as, I forgot to mention, the Minnesota Zoo. They're actually expanding out and doing their Zoo-mobile throughout the state of Minnesota and bringing those opportunities to rural Minnesota as well. Members, the newest part that we're going to be talking about here that's in the bill is the Department of Agriculture. Department of Ag, and actually this is a Senator Dames bill that was brought forward with regards to funding the arts and heritage for county parks, or excuse me, county fairs. We have an awful lot of county fairs, as we know, that get together every year. In fact, that's probably the highlight of, I know, some of the rural counties as well as some of the metro and suburb counties to get together and meet and display all your recent heritage, whether it be from the farming aspects, which we basically all grew from here in the state of Minnesota, to now the new business opportunities and where we were and where we are now. And it's really important, I think, it's kind of an exciting new area to be funding here with these dollars, and we're looking forward to, and hopefully you are looking forward to it as well, to be able to offer those opportunities to your local county fairs. And then we have the Indians Arts Council, where there was actually a reduction there from $1.9 million to $1.75 million. Going on to the back page, you will see there's a one-time expenditure of $450,000 to the Veterans Rest Camp. It's going to be a grant that they will have to apply through the Veterans Affairs. And there was some discussion about whether that met the constitutional amendment. And again, both committees voted very strongly in support of that. That we think that the cultural heritage and the ability for young people to come and visit parks and visit veterans in this park, where a lot of times members, you'll notice veterans don't like to talk about their war experiences unless they actually get together. And we thought it was a tremendous opportunity for those types of stories to be shared with the younger people and their families, and just a great place for our veterans who have done so much and given so much for us to be able to attend. With that, we move down into the bottom summary by fund. If you will see, that's pretty clear there. And the total expenditure for this biennium that we're talking about here on the Senate floor today is $449,223,000. So, again, members, I appreciate all the work and effort that goes into this. I've said it a couple times before in fun, because we do have to have some fun when we're down here. And I try and bring that to the committee as often as I can. Frankly, this is the only place in our whole area where there's any money that we have to, by the Constitute, expend. The people got together. They care about their environment. They care about their culture. They care about the art in the state of Minnesota, and so it's been certainly a fun opportunity to be able to do this. But I'll tell you that when I made a couple comments about putting armed guards at the door of my office, I was very serious about that, because the folks are very passionate about these dollars, and of course everybody wants something for their program, and hopefully this, in a bipartisan fashion, worked out real well. I think it was a good bill, a lot of time spent. So I'll open it up for any questions or amendments. I think Senator Hahn has an amendment, Madam Chair.
Further discussion on Senate File 1363, Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Ingebrigtsen, for your work on the bill and for the work of the other committee members on the bill. I think it's, in general, a pretty good bill, but I say that as someone who's not been immersed in the details of the discussion on the policy and on the intricacies of how you have to make this work out. And I have not been a part of that discussion. I've not been a part of that committee, and I've been working on other issues this session. So I appreciate the opportunity. I have an amendment, Madam President, the A-10 amendment that I'd like to offer at this time.
Senator Hahn offers the A-10 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Hahn moves to amend Senate File 1363 as follows, page 59, line 20, delete. This is the A-10 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President and members. As I said, I've not been intimately involved throughout the course of the session on this bill, and I'm not trying to throw a monkey wrench into the works or anything, but I know for me and for others there's been some concern about how the distribution of the money into these buckets that this bill addresses. And so there are numbers on this amendment, but the key things I'd like to point out to you are lines 1.12 and 1.13, is changing the percentage of the distribution from, instead of 37, 37, 26 to 39, 39, 22. I have had some conversation with Senator Ingebrigtsen on this and others, and we all may wish to see other numbers in those buckets, but I think this represents an effort to try to make a compromise in a direction that some of us are hoping to see movement in. And my understanding is that Senator Ingebrigtsen would be willing to accept this amendment, and so I'd ask for your consideration. Thank you.
Further discussion on the A-10 amendment, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Hahn, thank you for bringing this forward. And this has been is being brought forward after an awful lot of work, an awful lot of deliberation, with regards to it gets down into this this fairness thing of metro suburb, if you will, versus rural, and the first biennium. Just so you understand, members, again, I can refer you back to the spreadsheet. That on page 7 you will see down actually the middle of the page what the splits were in the last biennium and where we are now after going through two committees, and I think it's fair to say that we think the opportunities in rural Minnesota need some attention. We have well over 100 parks in the rural area, as well as the suburbs and metro have 29 to 30 parks, I believe, but we think that by building that up, we're able to get the folks from the metro area to come out and visit us more often than they do, not just for opening, fishing, and hunting, but we want you out there for park opportunities. So I appreciate the amendment. I certainly stand in support of that amendment and would ask the body to support it.
Further discussion on the A-10 amendment, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. And either Senator Hahn or Senator Ingebrigtsen, do you still have the restriction that on that 22% that you have reduced that to, that it all has to go to outstate. Even left to its own distribution through DNR, it was over 80% that was going outstate. But did you leave that restriction in place that 100% of it had to go there?
To that point, Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Olson, the amendment that I'm offering is only dealing with the distribution. I've not attempted to try to get in and deal with any of the policy about how the money is distributed. I know there is some issue with that, but my amendment doesn't address that. It's just addressing the percentages and where the money goes.
Senator Olson.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, is that what can you clarify on that?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. And this would be exclusive. This would be exclusive to the rural parks. In the past, members, that probably wasn't explained as well, but of the 14%, if you will look at the 14% that was there, I believe it was 20% was actually taken out of there by the Met Council parks. So they were able to actually go into the rural parks portion of the dollars under the last biennium. This would exclude that from happening. So this would be a 22% for rural parks. And again, members, I really need to remind you that even with the percentage that's in Senator Hand's bill for the metro and suburb state parks, it's a pretty significant increase over the last biennium. So,
Madam President?
Senator Olson.
Well, Madam President, I think it does continue a bit of a sore point rather than having with the DNR being able to make that distribution when you think that 80% of it was in fact going there. At the very least, I don't know what's going to happen in the conference committee, but I think I would hope that you would re-examine that. Give some assurance that maybe some of that should go to McLeod County. You know, we do have parks and trails that actually connect the metro and the rural. I mean, we are one state, and we shouldn't be trying to do things that divide us rather than unite us. And that's a concern that I have. And I know I had indicated to you that when the Dakota Rail opened, even the partial year that it was open, they anticipated from Wayzata to the border of Hennepin County, it will continue on through Carver County this summer. And McLeod County should be coming hopefully soon. I don't know if they've got the money to finish their part so that we would have an asphalt trail that entire length that from Hutchinson to Wayzata. And ultimately, I hope they will make connections because those are the are points where the state loose line trail comes and follows a different route. So the connection there would make a wonderful loop trail that I know will attract rural as it does metro. The Dakota Rail is attracting from all over now. They thought they would have 70 to 75,000 in the first year. It was 250,000. And I can't remember the exact number that Bo Carlson told me from the Three Rivers, but last year, the first full year, it was over 300, I think it was like 370,000 users on just that, I believe, it's about a 12-mile stretch in Hennepin County, and that goes into McLeod County. So pay attention to that, that they, in fact, are allowed to complete that rather than for something that's ready to go rather than just ones that, as we heard in the committee that day, things, parks that people would like to do, and there doesn't seem to be an overall strong plan within the rural area.
Further discussion, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Olson, for those concerns. And yes, it is. That's the beauty, I think, of this particular portion of the of our state government is that we have many years to come, many years of expenditures ahead of us to address those trails that you talk about. And in fact, in our area, it took us quite a few years to actually connect the trails that we had out there in our rail bed as well. So. But you're right. We are talking about all of Minnesota here, and we just didn't feel the first biennium, the rural Minnesota was considered quite enough. But we think this is certainly a much more fair way to do it.
Further discussion on the A-10 amendment, Senator Berglund.
Madam President and Senator Han, I'm glad you're trying to improve the situation that exists in this bill, but I don't feel that this is a good enough improvement, really. I mean, you know, to add this much money to the rural pot with exclusivity, and they don't even have a plan of how they're going to spend it yet, I am surprised. I am surprised.
Further discussion on the A-10 amendment. Senator Higgins.
Madam President and members, if you look at your spreadsheet, line 197 on page 7, which has the amounts of money on there, you will see that the Metro Parks would increase by a whole $300,000 a year. And the regional parks, the rural regional parks, would almost double from 8 million and change to 15 million with this amendment. I think that the parity and equity is just not there. The metro regional parks have more than 40 million visitors a year. The rural parks have about 400,000 visitors a year. And as much as I appreciate that Senator Han is bringing us closer, an increase of only $300,000 a year just doesn't cut it.
Further discussion to the A-10 amendment. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. To Senator Higgins' point about the fairness, I would point out that in the last appropriation of these monies, that less than 10% of those monies actually went to the Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails. And so where was the fairness last time? I think this is a great compromise. I thank Senator Ingebrigtsen and Senator Han for working hard on a compromise that would be fair to all the parks and trails in our state.
Further discussion, Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Han or Senator Ingebrigtsen, as we look at this percentage and the dollars that go with it, in the absence of a plan, I'm just wondering if Greater Minnesota has the matching funds to be able to take on this money?
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Jungbauer, yes, they do. In fact, if you notice, the percentage that came out of committee was 26%, 4% higher than this. That question was raised frequently through the several hearings that this bill went through, and each time the Greater Minnesota Parks responded the same way. Absolutely, yes, we have the money available to fund those projects. In fact, there's about a $33 million backlog right now, and that Greater Minnesota Parks Coalition has testified to the fact is that if there was a steady stream of money, a steady percentage that they could count on a regular basis year over year, that those dollars would grow significantly in very short order, because then those Greater Minnesota municipalities would have some dollars that they could count on. So the answer is yes.
Further discussion to the A-10 amendment. Senator Kielash.
Would Senator Peterson yield for a question?
Senator Peterson will yield. Senator Kielash.
My understanding on the matching funds from the regional parks is that is going to have to be raised with property taxes in order for that funding to be available for this whole amount. I like the change in the percentages. It's the exclusivity that could leave some of these funds on the table. I think we're trying to correct the issue with the outstate regional parks in 1 year. And we've got many years to go on this, and we can continue to funding. If there's a $30 million need and we're supplying this appropriation is supplying them with the new numbers. I think it's about 20 million. We're trying to solve two-thirds of the problem in one biennium. So that's my concern is that there some of these parks will not be able to raise the funding for their projects without raising property taxes. Could you just respond to that and how this matching funds is going to be raised?
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Kielash. I mean, that's a decision that's up to the local elected officials. I've talked with a number of them. I've talked with the folks that have worked on this Greater Minnesota Regional Parks Coalition, and quite frankly, you know, this group of folks have worked with the DNR and Metro Parks on a plan for well over a year and a half, and then when it came down to deciding the dollars, the Greater Minnesota Parks Coalition wasn't even really consulted in terms of the dollar amount that they would be able to move forward with. Relating to Senator Jungbauer's question, the answer is yes, the dollars will be there. Whether it'll raise property taxes or not, that's up to the local elected officials in their communities.
Further discussion on the A-10 amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor of the A-10 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 1363, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. I have the A-13 amendment.
Senator Rest offers the A-13 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Rest moves to amend Senate File 1363 as follows, page 53, line 20, before. This is the A-13 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. The amendment deals with just the changing the appointing authority for the members of the Water Council to what has become a trend in the Senate, at least, to allow the majority leader the appointment for the majority party member of the council and the speaker to appoint the majority caucus member in the House and for the minority leaders in the Senate and the House to appoint the minority caucus members rather than having all the appointments done by the speaker and of legislators and by the Committee on Committees. I've spoken with Senator Ingebrigtsen and worked in the past with Senator Gerlach on amendments like this, and they have indicated they support it.
Further discussion on the A-13 amendment. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator for bringing this forward. She's correct. We did talk about this. This is a policy that will make it consistent with what's going on, I think, in other committees. So we would certainly accept this as a friendly amendment, and thank you very much.
Further discussion on the A-13 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to offer the A-7 amendment.
Senator Skoy, the A-7?
A-7.
Senator Skoy has offered the A-7 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Skoy moves to amend Senate File 1363 as follows, page 60 after line 34, insert. This is the A-7 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President and members. This is language that was in the bill dealing with Lake LaSalle. It was presented in committee that somehow in the process has been removed. It is the legal description of the boundaries of the Lake LaSalle area, and it is also defining this as a state recreation area as opposed to a state park. I've talked to Senator Ingebrigtsen about this, and I would ask for your support also.
Further discussion on the A-7 amendment. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. That is a friendly amendment. I did talk it over with Senator Skoy, I would ask your support of that amendment.
Further discussion on the A-7 amendment. Seeing none, all in favor of the A-7 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail, and the amendment is adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 1363. Senator Kielash.
Madam Chair, I'd like to offer an oral amendment, and that is to delete the changes in Section 7, lines, the new language on lines 62.5 to 62.7. This is the exclusivity part of this.
Senator Kielash, just a moment. Could you repeat it so we make sure we get
This is in Section 7, line 62.5 to line 62.7. It's the new language that's in there. This is what the new language is what. Okay.
Senator Kielash has offered an oral amendment. The Secretary will report the oral amendment.
Senator Kielash moves to amend Senate File 1363 as follows. Line 62.5, strike the word or. Line 62.6, strike the entire line. Line 62.7, strike the entire line. Is that? And it is page 7, page 62 of the bill.
Yes.
Senator Higgins, are you offering some assistance on the amendment?
Madam President, since the only part of what Senator Kielash is trying to do is delete the new language in Section 7, if you delete Section 7, then you accomplish the same thing as what Senator Kielash wants to do.
That is correct. So Senator Higgins, you're suggesting he deletes Section 7, but he would have to. Withdraw his amendment and make the new amendment. His amendment. Just amend it. Well,
sorry, Senator Madam Kielash. Chair. I thought I had the right. I just got. I think I agree with Senator Higgins. I need to delete the Section 7 to remove the exclusivity in the regional parks. Apologize for that confusion. Okay.
Senator Kielash, you should withdraw the first amendment and then just make the new amendment for clarity's sake.
Madam Chair, President.
Madam President,
I would like to move to withdraw my original amendment.
It is withdrawn,
And I would like to offer this oral amendment to delete Section 7 on page 62.1 to 62.7.
Senator Kielash has offered an oral amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Kielash moves to amend Senate File 1363 as follows. Page 62, delete Section 7.
To the amendment, Senator Kielash.
Yeah, Madam Chair, some of the testimony has already been provided that 80% went to the outstate parks, and there's concern by many of the metro parks that there will be projects that would connect without the outstate parks, et cetera, as Senator Olson has alluded to. I think that if we can take the exclusivity out of it, it will still provide significant funding for the outstate parks. It will allow the DNR to establish some grants to wherever they're needed in the state. And it has another 23 years on this program to fund outstate parks. And I do believe that as we move forward and as the regional and outstate parks have the ability to both raise funds and come up with their projects, since they have no programs at this point ready to go, that these funds will be available. And if the outstate parks aren't ready to use it all, we'll have an outlet for making sure this money gets expended in this biennium. And we can always add more funds in the next biennium for these same things. It doesn't mean that it does not mean that more of the money will go to the metro area. It just means that this allows that flexibility. Hope you can support this.
Further discussion on the oral amendment, Senator Berglund.
Madam President, I would request a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested and a roll call granted. Further discussion on the oral amendment?
Madam President,
Senator Dames.
I would vote people to vote. I would encourage people to vote against this amendment, members. We have to take a look at this, and if we take a look at the amount of dollars that were given to the rural in the last biennium, and we're looking at changing it this biennium, and we're hearing about how we don't feel the rural people have the ability to have a program in place to handle the money. In testimony, where there was some concern about how the money would be handled by who and if they had the ability to do it. And if we have projects worthy of this, there's a concern about if we can spend the money. Trust me, rural Minnesota knows how to handle money. Rural Minnesota has parks that have the need, and we'll put the money to good use. And therefore, I'm going to urge the members to vote against this amendment and to continue with it the way it is.
Further discussion on the oral amendment, Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Kielash talks about 23 more years of appropriations to parks and trails, and I would agree we can adjust things over the next 23 years, but I'll remind Senator Kielash that in the first year of the appropriations, the lion's share went to the metro parks. This is a way of evening out the inequities that happen in the first year. It creates a situation where only 22% under Senator Hand's amendment, only 22% of the entire appropriation would be dedicated to the greater Minnesota trails and parks. That's a very small amount, and I don't know about the other members, but it's a very small amount of money. I think Senator Kielash is correct that if in ensuing years we want to make that change, we can do that in ensuing years. But for this bill at this time, I would oppose this amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Carlson, I believe it is in, and Madam President, I believe it's also relevant that, you know, the population base is in the metro area with 54% of the population, and the amount of money that goes into this fund that we're appropriating today, 64% of it comes from the metro area. The metro regional parks have 81% of the visits. The non-metro regional parks have fewer than 1% of the visits. So I'm happy to help the rural parks get more money. I believe that in the last biennium, they didn't get enough money. But I don't think that doubling their amount of money while barely giving an increase to the DNR parks and the metro parks is appropriate. So in this amendment by Senator Kielash, it keeps the amounts of money appropriated the same, but it also gives the metro parks an opportunity to compete for some of the DNR grants. So I hope that we adopt Senator Kielash's amendment.
To that point, Senator Carlson?
To that point, Madam President. I appreciate Senator Higgins' position on this, but if you look at the sales tax receipts, it's pretty hard to tell where all those receipts are coming from. We have many people from rural Minnesota that come to the cities and spend their money for sporting events, Mall of America, many things that we come to what we call the Twin Cities and spend a lot of our money here. So I wouldn't say, Senator Higgins, that money, that sales tax money, is all coming from the metro area. Further, it would seem to me that when we're talking about the amount of money, if you take a look at the amount of money that's being spent exclusively for the metro, 39%, fully 39% of all of that money being spent in the metro, and then they want to take or have the opportunity to take a little bit out of the measly 22% that's left over, that Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails has an opportunity to spend for their residents, and you want to take a portion of that, I just think that that's out of line.
Further discussion, I have Senator Jungbauer, and then Peterson, and then Berglund.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in support of the amendment. And members, I want you to understand we need to be very careful and very clear as we talk through some of these issues. I do believe we need to be fair about dividing up money. I do believe we need to make sure that we make that investment in greater Minnesota. But when we start arguing about exclusivity won by NEM or not, it does make a big deal, my outstate friends, and I'm going to explain it using another way to explain it, and I'm going to use roads. Members, 80% of gas tax is generated in the metropolitan area, and about 54% of that goes to greater Minnesota. We have more lane miles of roads in town. We have more needs every year, and yet we've been very fair in sharing that. We want to be fair, but we want to make sure on every issue that we understand the metro does now and always will have greater needs for that money due to the population base, due to the employment base. It just works out that way, so let's be very careful in being fair.
Further discussion, I have Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. By taking away this exclusion, it does take it in the wrong direction. You know, it's important to note that there's many outstate visitors to these regional parks. In fact, 45% of the visitors to our state parks, which the majority of them are out in the outstate, 45% of those visitors come from the metro area. So clearly, these greater Minnesota regional parks are going to be used by metro area residents, and they offer some really special features that aren't available. You know, I'm talking about single path mountain bike trails. I'm talking about regional parks that have quarries, that offer trout fishing, that offer rock climbing. These are what special features that these greater Minnesota regional parks can provide that aren't available in metro area parks. You know, all of us, all Minnesotans voted for this constitutional amendment, and I would argue it's my view that that constitutional amendment would not have passed without the votes from greater Minnesota. By taking away this exclusivity, takes away the assurance that the statewide parks plan that was developed with the DNR, developed with Metro Parks, developed with Greater Minnesota Regional Parks Coalition, that plan will not be fulfilled in the manner that it was intended, I believe. In fact, in some of our testimony, even the issue of the DNR managing this whole process, you know, is called into question. I'm not here to do that, but it's important for members to understand that the DNR guides and directs this process. The DNR staff directs and organizes this process, and in fact, the DNR is the single largest beneficiary of these legacy funds. Please, please, it's a matter of fairness to allow the Greater Minnesota Parks to receive this small percentage in an exclusive manner so that they can plan and move this statewide parks plan forward in a manner that's fair for all Minnesotans, because we all voted for this constitutional amendment. And I think it's safe to say we wouldn't even be talking about these dollars if it wasn't for the votes from Greater Minnesota. So please let them have this chance to benefit from these funds just as the metro area has.
Further discussion, I have Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Madam President. So the rural area gets about 90% of the state park money. When you combine that with 22%, it means that they get 56% of the total pot. Allowing this 22% pot to not have exclusivity on those dollars will probably mean that it'll end up being about 50-50, which is a much fairer way of looking at this. It's a much fairer way of doing this, even considering the much, much greater usage that the Metro Parks get. So I would urge people to vote for this amendment.
Further discussion on the A50 amendment now. Senator Kielash.
Madam President, one of the things we have to realize is that this amendment does not take away any money from outstate parks. What it is it's a grant program, and that all it does is allow all the parks to compete based on merit. Now, the DNR realizes that the metro parks already are getting a significant amount. Therefore, in the last biennium, 80% of it went to the outstate. This is not to take away anything from the outstate parks because they were received significant funding. One of the things we have to realize, though, is that the reason the metro parks need extra support for some of this stuff is they've got 81% of the visits to parks are in the metro regional parks area. And there's only 1% in the outstate parks. We're talking about population usage, and the with the growing metropolitan area and demand for better parks, these grant programs will allow the metro parks to compete with the outstate as far as what new programs they can develop to enable citizens of the metro area to have more access to the outdoors. This is not exclusive for the metros. This is a regional merit-based grant program that allows all parties to compete based on the best value and the ability of those parks and both outstate and metro regional parks to come up with their share of the funding to address the needs of the populations. And this is a good amendment. It allows flexibility. It does not take any money away from the outstate parks. There's extra money in the program from the last 2 years, and if the numbers are the same, there'll still be a significant increase in the funding for outstate parks. So I urge you to support this amendment.
Further discussion to the A50 amendment. Senator Senjum and then Senator Ingebrigtsen. Senator
Senjum. Thank you, Madam President. I just want to say this. Go down to Cannon Falls or Hampton tomorrow afternoon, maybe even start in the morning. You will see car after car after car with camper trailer and motorhome and bikes and small motorcycles coming out of the Twin City area going on into southeastern Minnesota. And whether that's Whitewater, Forestville, down at Lanesboro, Lake Louise, probably doesn't matter. But I will tell you, if you didn't realize, and I got to think you do, the metro people use outstate parks a lot in spades. There will be hundreds and hundreds of cars going down Highway 52 tomorrow, expecting a nice weekend, in our case, in southern Minnesota. And I expect that's true no matter which direction you go from the metropolitan area. So, again, I would oppose this amendment. Let's keep those outstate parks in good shape and, frankly, available and in good shape for our metropolitan visitors.
Further discussion, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I oppose the Kielash oral amendment. And members for Senator Kielash to stand up and say that this amendment is not going to take money from the rural parks, I'm not sure what he means by that. It certainly will. In fact, I'll remind you in my presentation, you will notice on page 7 where 2 years ago when this bill was put together, were the $8.870 million that were going out to the regional parks and trails, 20% of that was taken by the metro parks, 20% of the 14%. Now, if you can somehow stand up on the floor here and convince me that that's fair, that they're actually taking 20% of the 14 that was put out there, then I'm going to be quite surprised if that can be proven. So members, Senator Higgins, too, said that we're not going to get any more for the parks on the previous amendment. Actually, the metro parks are going to still receive $1.2 million. So, folks, this is a matter of fairness. This is also, you also know that these dollars are expended every year, every biennium. And we've got 23 years of this going forward. The regional parks out in the metro area need an opportunity to build up. Yes, the state parks are going to be funded. Senator Berglund talked about that. But you know what? Those are state parks. Those are your parks as well as they are somebody up in Roseau County's parks. That's really not the issue here. It's the rural regional county parks that are trying to build themselves up, and this is more than reasonable. Therefore, again, I definitely would ask to vote against the Kielash oral amendment.
Further discussion, I have Senator Jungbauer and then Senator Pappas. Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam President. And actually, in response to Senator Sinjum, as an avid bicycler that takes my family around to do hiking and bicycling, Senator Sinjum, you made a good point. We go to Lanesboro every Memorial weekend. And guess what? When I unload my bicycle in Lanesboro, I can actually go from town to town to town with my family. But members, when I try to leave my house in East Bethel, I can't get to the Capitol by going through our park system here because it's not connected. It doesn't matter if I go to the east. It doesn't matter if I go to the west. And that is a big deal to people in the metro area, that we finish our connections in our parks that we've started. We've planned it for many, many years. They've been on the drawing board for many, many years. And again, I want to say we want to make sure Greater Minnesota has those same opportunities, and they do. But every place I've brought my bike in Greater Minnesota, I can get someplace. I can't do it in the metropolitan area. So just picking out trails as a great example, the argument doesn't hold up for Greater Minnesota, because we can get many miles, in fact, many hundreds of miles in Greater Minnesota when I can't even make it 40 miles from north suburbs to St. Paul or Minneapolis. Thanks.
Further discussion, Senator Pappas and Senator Berglund. Senator Pappas.
Madam President, I move a call of the Senate.
Senate is under call. Senator Pappas.
Madam President, I move that all the proceedings be dispensed with and the sergeant be instructed to bring in the absent members.
And Senator Pappas, is your motion for the call for the rest of the bill or the amendment? For the duration of the amendment?
For the duration of the bill.
Thank you. Senator Pappas, on the motion of Senator Pappas to... On the Senator Pappas motion, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail, and the sergeant will be instructed to bring in the absent members. To the amendment, the A50 Kielash amendment. Senator Kielash.
Madam President, would Senator Ingebrigtsen yield, please?
I'm sorry, who did you
would,
ask?
Would Senator Ingebrigtsen yield?
Ingebrigtsen. Senator Ingebrigtsen will yield. Senator Kielash.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, what you've said is that somehow the metro regional seven-county metro area parks are taking money from the outstate parks with the last biennium. But, in fact, the program was a competitive grant program based on merit, and the projects were decided to be funded based on the merit. And what my amendment does is to continue that. So if there's outstate, as you say, needs and wants and ability to provide great programs and compete for this money based on that, they will have, like in the past, they will have the funding that they need for their particular programs, but it's based on the merit of the project. I just think that your analogy that somehow that the metro parks or metro regional parks are somehow taking this money away from the outstate when it's a competitive competitive grant program is a little misleading. And could you please tell me how we're taking money away in a grant program when, in fact, the merits that the board uses to issue the funding is the way the grant is proposed and has been proposed in the past 2 years.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Kielosch, other than trying to confuse the issue, I'm not understanding your question. I think it's pretty straightforward. Your oral amendment is very clear. You still want the opportunity for the Metro Park system to be able to go into the regional park system, qualify, and take money out of there as what happened in the last biennium. 11% of the $8.8 million that was designated for regional parks and trails was taken back to the Metro Parks. It doesn't get any clearer than that. And what your amendment does, it continues that same philosophy. So the 22% that we've agreed upon now under the previous amendment is going to be subject to Metro coming into that 22%. I don't think it's getting any clearer than that.
To that point, Senator Kielosch?
Yes, Madam President. Yes, the point is that they are not able to take any percentage of it. It's competitive grants, which means that the out-state regional parks have to propose good programs to get this funding, and asking the Metro Regional Park System will have to do the same. It is not taking money away. It's competing for grants based on the merit of them. And that's the point I'd like to make sure we understand, that this is not taking money away from the outstate parks. It is only allowing competitive grants to happen and allows flexibility by the DNR to be able to use the parks and trails money from all over the state for the best projects submitted.
To that point, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Kielosch, I think the members need to understand, if the regional parks don't have enough requests for these dollars, which I don't think that's going to be a problem, those dollars actually are not expended, obviously. It's no different than anything else, no different than any other part of this bill. If the dollars aren't expended over in Lasard Sam's, the money goes back for expenditure the next biennium or the next year, depending upon what the committee says. So rest assured, there will be plenty of regional parks that will be coming forward for these dollars. I just can't help but reiterate the fairness here that's going on. That I think in the Hann Amendment versus what's happening here, we're back to the old same old business of going after rural dollars, and I just think this is absolutely the most fairest way to do it.
Senator Bonhoff, is that to this point? Because yes. I've got several other people that have asked to speak, so to this point.
Madam Chair, right. It is to this point.
Senator Bonhoff.
And if you deem that it isn't, then I will sit down and go later. But to this point, with regard to it being fair or not fair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, when we were in committee, we offered an amendment that would have put the distribution back to what the governor had, which was 42-42-16. That amendment did not pass. I think there were those who were planning today to amend this provision, an offer amendment, to 40-40-20, so actually meeting somewhere in the middle, Senator Ingebrigtsen, and I think many of us would have voted for that and felt as though then we wouldn't have touched Section 7. We would have said, you know what, that's a fair spread. It still gives the rural parks a way greater portion than they would have had from before, but we're willing to live with that split. The proposal that Senator Hann put forward that was adopted, many of us in the chamber, and those who are not listening to this but who are suburban or metro legislators, I suggest that you pay attention because really this is not a fair arrangement for the suburban and metro parks. So because the proposal that Senator Hand put forward really didn't address the equity issue that many of us felt needed to be addressed, this is in lieu of that. This is saying, okay, we don't get where we think we ought to go, but we'll trust the DNR to do what's right. We'll trust the DNR to use their expertise and make the right decision. Therefore, we'll just take out the exclusivity. Like Senator Olson said, we're all one Minnesota. Let's do it like that. So we were willing to accept Senator Hand's proposal, but then give the DNR some flexibility.
Further discussion, Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Ingebrigtsen yield? Thank you. Senator Ingebrigtsen, I appreciate your support of parks in both rural and metropolitan area. And I'm just wondering if this money doesn't get spent, this is a grant process. If not enough grants are proposed, then where does the money go? Because we have needs throughout all of the parks in Minnesota. So I was just wondering.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, there's a certain amount of discussion going on over my left shoulder, which happens to be my best ear here. So I'm going to ask her to repeat that, please.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, since this is a competitive grants process, then if there aren't enough grant requests for the money, what happens to it in this year or in this time frame?
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, as I said before, it goes back to the fund, and that's with all of these funds. If those proposed projects are not actually fulfilled, the money isn't spent, it goes back. And we have the opportunity as a legislature to distribute that money the next biennium.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Ingebrigtsen, for that. And then, so I'm wondering if there aren't enough requests, if this is a grant program that allows only rural parks to apply for it and there isn't enough proposals, then we have money sitting there when there's a great need in the metropolitan area. And I am concerned about that. I am going to just echo what my colleagues have been saying about this being one Minnesota. And we have metropolitan people that use the rural parks. We have rural people that use metropolitan and regional parks. And I think we really ought to allow this grant process to be for everyone, that we shouldn't make it exclusive to only one part of the state. So thank you.
Further discussion on the A50 amendment. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I agree, this is one Minnesota, and if you believe that, under Senator Kielash's amendment, not one single dollar will be dedicated to Greater Minnesota Parks because of its competitive grant. If you believe this is one Minnesota, under Senator Kielash's amendment, not one single dollar will be guaranteed to go to Greater Minnesota Parks. So I'd urge you to vote against this amendment.
Further discussion on the A50 amendment. Roll call has been requested. The Secretary will take the roll on the A50 amendment.
Madam President, I move that those not voting be excused from voting.
Absentees have been called for. We are under call. Senator Tomasoni has moved to excuse those not voting. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The motion does not prevail. We are under call, members. There are three members that have been excused. Senators Latz, Ortman, and Sharon have been excused. All those senators having voted? Oh, Senator. All those senators having voted? The secretary will close the roll. There being 32 ayes and 33 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 1363. Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 1363 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1363, a bill for an act relating to state government, third reading.
Senator Pappas, I asked if there was further discussion, and there was no indication.
Sorry, Madam Chair, I was still looking at the board, and I, you know, it's too late for me to offer an amendment.
We have done third reading. Further discussion on Senate File 1363. Senator Magnus.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I want to thank Senator Engelbretson and his colleagues and workers for putting together a very good bill. I know it's not everything everyone wants, but that's the way things work around here. I think they've done the best job they can. They put together a lot of important things in the bill that benefit all of the state, and I think I want to commend Senator Engelbretson for his statesmanship and working through the process and doing the work and I think really putting a good bill together for the good of the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 1363. Senator Engelbretson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Thanks so much for the dialogue. I've always, again, I tried to approach this with this being everybody's participation here, and I've tried to, I think the committee has done the best they can with regards to that. I thank the
the members, and if we go into a conference committee, we're going to be going in very strong here, and I certainly appreciate that, and I would ask for your vote.
Further discussion, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that Senator Ingebrigtsen and the committee has done some good work, and there's a lot of things that I support in this bill, but I think there are still three major flaws. One is there was an offer for a 40-40-20 split in committee that I think lost by one vote. I think that would have been a more fair split than, you know, the 39 is close, but people have to remember that most of the state parks are also in rural Minnesota. And as my colleague here said, we are one state, and a lot of metro people go to state parks, probably more likely state parks than these new regional parks. And a lot of rural people come to our metro parks. But the metro parks still do have most of the, you know, the 39 million visitors, and this state appropriation is a very small percentage of their budget. Center, I think it's like 5% or 10% of their budget. So the metropolitan tax dollars are supplying the vast majority of support for the metro parks. That's one thing. I think we had a chance with the exclusivity issue to be more fair if the regional parks were not ready for prime time. Why leave money on the table? Why not allow that money to go to the metro area? So that's another flaw, because that was narrowly defeated. And then the amendment I was going to offer, which I also offered in committee, is to leave the Clean Water Council the way it is currently. There really are no complaints about the current council. I haven't heard any other than the chairman decided to reshape it. And, you know, it's his right to do that, but I don't really see any reason, since there was really no problem with it. It was created to represent the many stakeholders and water issues. And it's a different type of council than the council that manages the Habitat funds. It's appropriated on a program basis, and the agency distributes the funds based on a rationale that's based on science. And so I think having all the stakeholders at the table in this case is really important to do. So for those reasons, I'm very sad to say that I'm going to be voting against the bill. There was really an opportunity to make some relatively minor changes to make it more balanced, more fair, and I don't think we quite met that criteria.
Further discussion on 1363, Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess what I'd like to say is that I thought the committee did a great job of putting this bill together, led by Senator Ingebrigtsen. But the important thing is, as somebody who serves on one of the councils that brings the recommendations to the Minnesota legislature, I think it's important, even though it makes some people shudder, that each year we've kind of got a new slate, and there's 23 years of this. So new ideas are always welcome, and with that, I would hope that we support this.
Further discussion on Senate File 1363, Senator Ingebrigtsen. Closing remarks.
Thank you, and members, I just have to make one correction, Senator Pappas, and I appreciate the dialogue that we had in our committee with regards to all of this, actually, but the percentage that was brought to the committee under Senator, I believe it was Senator Olson's amendment was not 40-40-20. It was, I know there's a lot of percentages being thrown around here, but I remember it as being 42-42-16. It was the governor's proposal. So that, there again, that was just not quite, you know, I mean, from 14% to 16%, again, we didn't think it addressed it, and that's why it failed. So I just wanted to point that out. And the Clean Water Council, I've been very honest with the committee with regards to that. I don't think there's been any appropriate behavior there whatsoever. I just happen to think it is a better structure, being an executive going on to the legislative committee. I think the legislature has a little more say as far as the members. Right now, it's governor's appointments only. And again, there's no inappropriation or any appropriateness that was coming forward. But the one area that I really did have a problem with the council was that it's being administered by an agency that receives a large amount of money. And I know Senator Saxog and others on the Lessard committee, we toil with the with the members, I think, of the hunting and fishing community of making sure that those dollars are appropriated in the proper fashion, and that the DNR would not be doing the administrating. Here on the Clean Water Council, folks, it's the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency that actually administers that particular part of this bill. And I don't think it's necessarily a problem looking to happen, but it certainly could happen there. I think it's just a better way to do it, a little more responsible. But again, it's not done here. We'll probably end up in a conference committee, and I know there's some concerns with regards to the council over there. So we'll deal with it, and I'll bring the Senate position forward.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 1363.
Madam President.
All those senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 52 ayes and 14 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under special orders, we will take up House File 57. It is number 29 on general orders. And there, members, there is an unofficial engrossment underneath your desks if you'd like a paper copy. Center Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, House File 57 is our drug omnibus bill. It basically accomplishes four things, and I'll have different senators speak on each of these. First, it adds synthetic cannabinoids to the list of controlled substances, cannabinoids being marijuana, some people say. It adds drugs known as 2CE, and 2CI to the controlled substances list. These are designer drugs. And it also adds, for those of you who don't know the word analog, and analog drugs, which are drugs that are similar in composition or have a similar effect on folks that take them. And then lastly, it clarifies the language concerning bong water. All of these have been vetted by the State Pharmacy Association, or I'm sorry, State Pharmacy Board. And I'd like to start out with Ms. President, with hearing from Senator Nelson on her aspect of the bill, if we could first. Mr. Chair, I would yield Senator Nelson.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Hall. This part of the bill has to do with, well, the whole bill actually has to do with fake drugs, and we know that fake drugs cause real problems. The piece of the bill that I'd like to visit with you today is the piece of the bill that deals with what's called synthetic marijuana, K2, spice. We all are too familiar with the problems and the heartache that occurs when typically young people go to stores and buy these so-called, at this time, folks, these are legal substances that are being sold on shelves in our local stores. We had an undercover, it wasn't undercover, the police officers just went into stores in Rochester and were able to purchase these right on the store shelves. This language is intended to make sure that these products, as well as those chemical derivations of them, will be illegal and will not be on our store shelves. We have seen way too many personal injuries with this and tragic results. A young man from my high school actually took this substance. It was legal, purchased it at the mall, and it produces devastating effects. It's time we get them off the shelves. Thank you.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the A50 amendment.
Secretary will read the A50 amendment.
Senator Miller moves to amend House File 57, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 4, line 14. This is amendment A50.
On the amendment, A50 amendment, Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. The A50 amendment addresses two fairly new synthetic drugs that are on the market, I guess we could say, or on the street, known as plant food or bath salts. And I had a meeting with local law enforcement officials over the Easter Passover break, and these two drugs are becoming very, very popular. They're dangerous drugs. They have the similar effects, if not worse effects, than cocaine, meth, heroin, and tar. So this amendment would add both these drugs to the list of Schedule I drugs and make them illegal to possess or sell in the state of Minnesota.
Any further discussion on the A50 amendment? On the A50 amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hall.
If we could allow Senator Pappas to explain the aspect of the bill, the bong water part.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, I'm just noticing that the call was never removed after the last bill, and I actually do want to ask for another call because, in particular, Senator Goodwin has an amendment she wants to offer on this bill, and we don't know where she is. So I move a call of the Senate.
Senator Pappas, is it for the balance of the proceeding?
For the balance of the proceedings.
Senate is under call. Senator Pappas.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second provision in the omnibus drug bill is Senate Bill 502, which is amends certain controlled substance possession offenses and the definition of a controlled substance mixture, so law enforcement and prosecutors may not charge an offense based on the weight of water used, of wastewater used in a bong or water pipe. Without this change in the law, law enforcement may make charging decisions based on the entire weight of the mixture that contains a controlled substance residue, even if the drug residue is only a very, very small fraction of the mixture. The reason for this bill was there was a Supreme Court decision last year, State versus Peck, where the prosecutor charged the defendant Peck with a first-degree controlled substance offense because Peck possessed bong water that contained the residue of methamphetamine. The total weight of the mixture was used to charge Peck with the most serious level of drug offense rather than the actual weight of the methamphetamine. We actually passed this bill by the Senate last year unanimously, but it didn't become law. So essentially, the bill ensures that the decision to make a penalty for a user is not the same as that used for a dealer, so you don't transform a user into a dealer, and we don't convict somebody for that level of incarceration rate. Thank you very much, members.
Any further discussion on House File 57? Seeing none, the secretary.
Yep. Chair?
Oh, Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer the A2 amendment, members.
Senator Hall offers the A2 Goodwin amendment.
The A2 amendment has to do with changing
Excuse
some
me,
of the.
Senator Hall, secretary
Thank you, Mr.
will
Chair.
Report the amendment. Oh.
Senator Hall moves to amend House File 57, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 1, line 18. This is Amendment A-2 under Goodwin.
On that amendment, Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A-2 amendment has to deal with the enactment date. It enacts earlier when the stores that are having this drug, the designer drugs on, and are selling them at present, that they would have to take those off fairly quickly, being July here, and then we give ample notice to those users as of August 1st.
Any further discussion on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. Further discussion on House File 57, Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I appreciate your support on this. I think we've got some good aspects to it. I appreciate Senator Nelson, Pappas, Miller, and Goodman all helping with it. I ask that you help pass this bill. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will give House File 57 its third reading.
House File 57, a bill for an act relating to public safety. Third reading.
Any further discussion on House File 57? Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and zero nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Koch.
Mr. President, remaining under motions and resolutions, I move that we take up the calendar.
On that motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. On the calendar, number one, Senate file number 225. Secretary will give it its third reading.
Senate file 225, a bill for an act relating to manufactured homes, third reading.
Is there any further discussion on Senate file 225? Seeing none, secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and zero nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Second item on the calendar, House file number 299. Members, I would remind you quickly here, we're going to run through eight real quick, so hang tight with us here. House file number 299, secretary will give it its third reading.
House File 299, a bill for an act relating to state government, establishing a retained savings program for executive branch agencies.
Any discussion on House File 299? Seeing none, secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, secretary will close the roll. Being there 65 ayes and zero nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Third item on the calendar, Senate file 249. Secretary will give it its third reading.
Senate file 249, a bill for an act relating to commerce regulating the provision of certain goods and services of residential contractors.
Any discussion on Senate file 249? Seeing none, secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Fourth item on the calendar, Senate file number 1162. Secretary will give it its third reading.
Senate file 1162, a bill for an act relating to real property, landlord and tenant, third reading.
Any discussion on Senate file 1162? Seeing none, secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and 2 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Fifth item on the calendar, Senate file number 944. Secretary will give it its third reading. Senate file number 994.
Senate file 994, a bill for an act relating to lawful gambling, decreasing certain minimum lawful purpose expenditure requirements.
Any discussion on Senate file 994? Seeing none, secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, secretary will close the roll. Being there 65 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Number 6, Senate file number 1044. Secretary will give it its third reading.
Senate file 1044, a bill for an act relating to state government, modifying provisions relating to state agency responses to natural disasters.
Any discussion on Senate file 1044? Seeing none, secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Number 7 on the calendar, Senate file number 1243. Secretary will give it its third reading.
Senate File 1243, a bill for an act relating to the Environment Modifying Waste Management Act.
Any discussion on Senate File 1243? Seeing none, Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, Secretary will close the roll. Being there 66 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Eighth item on the calendar, Senate File number 1078. Secretary will give it its third reading.
Senate File 1078, a bill for an act relating to transportation, providing for alternative financing and investment in a pilot transportation project.
Any discussion on Senate File 1078? Seeing none, Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, Secretary will close the roll. There being 58 ayes and 8 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Cope, that completes calendar items.
Mr. President, remaining under motions and resolutions, I move that we take up the general orders calendar.
On that motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Koch.
Mr. President, I move that Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On that motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senator Koch.
Mr. Chair and members, in front of you, you have a list of general orders that we will be working through today.
First item on general orders, number 36, Senate File 768, Senator Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 768 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, all in favor signify, Senator Thompson, on the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Senate File 768 deals with the probationary status of public school teachers and principals. And currently, when teachers are or principals are under probationary status, They are employees at will and can generally be dismissed once the school year has ended. Once they reach continuing contract or tenure status, they then are given the protections that go along with that classification in law. This bill, should it pass and be signed into law, would do a few different things. First off, the probationary period now for a public school teacher is 3 years. That would not change for a new teacher. However, something that would change is under current law, if a teacher chooses to change districts, they are eligible for tenure after 1 year of teaching in the new district. This bill would make that probationary period in their new district 3 years to give the new district a little bit better opportunity to evaluate the performance of the teacher that has just come into the district. The second issue that this bill deals with is currently, in order to be considered a full year of teaching, a teacher needs to put only 60 days in on the job. This bill would double that and make it 120 days in order for that to count as a full teaching year. Third, members, currently, the tenure system that is in place and the dismissal system that is in place has what is oftentimes referred to as a last-in, first-out system. And what that means is typically when teachers have to be terminated for budgetary reasons or perhaps contraction of a school within the district or whatever it might be, teachers are let go based purely on seniority and some other factors, but for the most part, seniority. That creates problems in situations where you have teachers that are uniquely suited to teach a specific subject matter, or there may be shortages in certain departments of teachers that are well suited to teach a certain type of class. So this bill changes the system just slightly so that a superintendent would be given some discretion in the areas of the Montessori schools, language immersion programs, advanced placement programs, and also music programs, so that if a teacher is uniquely suited to handle a specific aspect of a music program, an AP class, that sort of thing, the superintendent would be given discretion to do what's in the best interests of the students by keeping qualified teachers around. And fourth and finally, this legislation would change the system so that if someone is promoted to the position of principal or assistant principal and then is later transferred to a different job, it would not be deemed a demotion so long as the compensation remains the same. The current law provides that if a principal is moved to a job that is considered to be lesser status, that is regarded as a demotion. This bill would change that so that as long as the compensation remains the same, it would not be deemed a promotion. But it's important to know that if a principal is put back into the classroom, that principal does not lose tenure status as a teacher that had been attained before taking the job as a principal. So I would appreciate the members' support. Those are my comments to this point, and thank you for your consideration.
Any further discussion on Senate File 768? There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Thompson that Senate File 768 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion does not prevail. The committee has before number 40, Senate File 799.
Division was requested. I would ask for division.
Senator Thompson asked for division. Excuse me, Senator Nino. All in favor, please stand up. And you must be in your seat and you must remain standing. May sit down. All those opposed, please stand. There being 34 for and 25 against, motion prevails. The committee has before it number 40 on the general orders calendar, Senate file 799. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate file 799 be recommended to pass.
Senator Miller on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 799 limits the liability exposure for non-public colleges and universities in the state of Minnesota when data they are required to share with the Office of Higher Education is breached, improperly disclosed, or misused by the Office of Higher Education or by individuals or entities provided access to the data by the office. This bill has been through the Higher Education Committee as well as the Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. This bill has improved from its original form as a result of a collaborative effort between Minnesota's private colleges, the Office of Higher Education, fellow legislators, and concerned citizens.
Any further discussion on Senate File 799? Senator Latz.
Mr. Chairman and members, this is a good and well-tailored appropriate liability limitation. Once the data is out of the hands of the parties, they shouldn't be responsible for the release of data by the subsequent holders of the data, and I encourage you to support the bill.
Any further discussion on Senate File 799? There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Miller that Senate File 799 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Committee has before it number 47 on general orders calendar, Senate File 1208. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1208 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is the Department of Commerce's Financial Institutions Technical Bill. It has eight sections. Section 1 has the effect of extending the trend test calculation to property and casualty companies for regulation of risk-based capital. Sections 2 through 6 remove Farmers Mutual Fire Insurance Companies from the relevant statutes since the last one merged out of existence on January 1st, 2010. Section 3 simply removes a sunset provision. Section 4 is a conforming change to a statute repealed in Section 7. Section 5 modifies the statute premium reserve calculations for title insurers. Section 7 was an amendment that was added by Senator Cruz and the Commerce Committee. It repeals a rule related to the restrictions on capitalization of permanent improvements, which will simply add conformity and clarity to the state banks. And finally, Mr. Chair and members, Section 8 repeals statutes related to guaranteed investment contracts issued by insurers. It passed out of the committee with unanimous support, and I would urge member support, Madam Chair.
Further discussion on Senate File 1208. Seeing none, Senator Sparks renews his motion that when this committee do arise. Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, members, I apologize. I was out meeting with a constituent and was not aware that we were doing this bill. I do have an amendment. I have the A4 amendment.
Senator Bonoff offers the A4 amendment. Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Bonoff moves to amend Senate File 1208 as follows. Page 1 after line 11, insert. This is the A4 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. What this amendment does is, first, just to give a little bit of background, right now, many of you may have noticed over the last few years that your mortgages have been sold. You know, you get a letter in the mail saying that your mortgage has been sold, and it tells you who your servicer is. Well, I was door knocking last summer, and I knocked on a person's door who was quite upset about his personal situation because he was going to be facing foreclosure, and he had been trying to figure out who actually owned his mortgage so that he could discuss and negotiate his terms. And when he called his servicer, he learned that his servicer did not own his mortgage, but in fact, it had been sold. And to make a long story short, he took months and months and months and really never did find out who his servicer was. Because of that, I started doing my own investigation. My own mortgage had been sold. I called my service provider and asked them who owned my note, and they said that they didn't have the information. This is not acceptable for consumers not to know who actually owns their mortgage note. So last summer I began working with the banking community, working with all those involved in this to see if there wasn't language that could be put together and agreed to that would be very simply just allow consumers to get the information of who owns their note. And that's all this amendment does. Now, you may have known that in the Dodd-Frank reform, that this was provided as part of that reform, but that reform isn't enacted yet, and it doesn't include MERS in that. So this is a little bit broader than that, but does refer to that reform, Consumer Protection Act. So that's what this amendment does. It's not controversial, and I would urge your support. It did pass the Commerce Committee without opposition.
Further discussion on the A4 amendment. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to also tell members that, yes, this bill, the Bonhoeff bill, was heard in the Commerce Committee, and she had asked me for if there was any appropriate vehicles to attach this to so that it could ultimately pass. And I suggested that the Sparks Financial Institutions bill would be an appropriate vehicle. So I'm hoping that Senator Sparks is also amenable to that. And then also, I have a quick question here for Senator Bonhoeff, and I'm having somebody look this up as well. But if you remember in committee, we had asked that the language in your bill where it says Dodd-Frank, that be substituted with what the public law number was, because we don't want to refer to an informal Dodd-Frank in our statute, but rather there would be the formal public law number. And in your amendment here today, you have Dodd-Frank. So I'm wondering, do you have the public law number that you could insert?
Further discussion, Senator Bonhoeff.
Madam President, Senator Gerlach, if you'll see on line 1.14, Council did insert the public law number. They did not delete the Dodd-Frank referral. They just inserted the public law number. I think that was their interpretation of our request. If you would like the Dodd-Frank words stricken, I'm happy to do that.
Senator Gerlach.
Madam Chair, I'm not actually looking at the exact language. I don't have it in front of me. I just know that in the body of the text it said Dodd-Frank, so I guess I don't know exactly how it was written, but our intent was to not put Dodd-Frank, the words Dodd-Frank, in the statute, but rather have the public law. So if your amendment covers that, then I'm comfortable. I just want to make sure we're using the formal public. Oh, here it is right here then. If I could, Madam Chair, I'd just like to read this very quickly here. Right.
Senator Gerlach.
Madam Chair and Senator Bonhoeff, again, this is maybe trivial, but I just... I see that we do have the public law number in there, the 111-203. But I'm wondering if we would just use the language, section 14.6.3 of Public Law 111-203, instead of the extraneous wording of Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act. Madam Chair, I'm wondering if Senator Bonhoff would be amenable just to an oral amendment to her amendment, and that would be to on line 1.13, line 13, striking language, all the language after numbers 1463, and I'm sorry, keeping the word of, so it'd be striking all language after the word of. And then on line 114, striking and Consumer Protection Act, comma. I wonder if Senator Bonhoff would be amenable to that.
Madam President.
Senator Bonhoff.
I'm amenable to that. That's fine.
So Senator Gerlach would offer that oral amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Gerlach moves to amend the Bonhoff amendment to Senate File 1208 as follows. Line 1.13, strike the words, the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform. Line 1.14, strike the words, and Consumer Protection Act.
No discussion to that oral amendment? On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. To the amendment as amended, Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One last thing I wanted Senator Brown to know. Senator Brown questioned in committee whether it was clear that if a mortgage was sold more than one time in a year, that the consumer would be able to get that information without a fee each time it was sold. So I wanted to make sure Senator Brown knew that there was also language that complied with that request in this amendment.
Further discussion to the A4 amendment as amended. Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 1208. Seeing none, Senator Sparks renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1208 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on, we have Senate File 946, number 80 on general orders. Senator DeCrafe.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 946 be recommended to pass.
To that motion, Senator DeCrafe.
Senate File 946 is a school joint partnership, and it's basically related to innovation in our education system. This bill is a pilot project which would establish six individual pilots across Minnesota with three or more school districts in each. The state will lift many of the rules and regulations we place upon school districts. My hope is the participating districts, their administrations, will collaborate with teachers, parents, and school boards to come up with new ideas that we have never allowed them to work on in the past.
Further discussion on Senate File 946. Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Madam President. Question that when I read the legislation, if I understand it correctly, what the legislation does is allow school districts, which operate under a certain set of statutes, to also become charter schools, which operate under a different set of statutes. And my first thought was, why would you want to do this? And I understand what you're saying about trying to eliminate rules and regulations and give these districts opportunity to work out some creative and innovative partnerships. Currently, I think they can already do some of those creative partnerships and not be kind of confused in the sense that if you read lines 2.7, and let me just read this because it sounds as if it's almost a contradiction. 2.7 says the member districts of the joint partnership must comply
statute